A stranger with a gun came upon two teens taking pictures under a rising full moon. But violence is only the beginning of this story.
Sometimes I thought, there are no miracles. Yeah, there are, and this is a big one.
I'm Amy Donaldson, and I've spent my career talking about how lives are undone by violence. The Letter is a podcast about how lives are remade. Follow The Letter at theletterpodcast.com or wherever you get your podcasts.
Utah's best athletes count on flexibility, speed, strength.
And the Jazz pick up their 22nd assist.
So they count on University of Utah Health.
Brialso Lake puts this game away!
And so can you. Leading doctors, a world-class environment, award-winning innovation, care to be great.
14 unanswered by the Utes.
University of Utah Health, caring for Utah's best and yours. Schedule your appointment now at uofuhealth.org/care to be great.
This is Cougar Sports Saturday. Cougar Sports Saturday.
A presentation of KSL Sports.
Got it for three. Cougars by 20.
Every Saturday, all year long. BYU Sports Talk by Cougar fans.
For Cougar fans.
It's Cougar Sports Saturday.
Here are your hosts, Mitch Harper and Matt Biamonte.
Home of BYU Sports. KSL News Radio, 102.7 FM and 1160 AM.
Hey, welcome on in to Cougar Sports Saturday. It's May 15th. Hey, Mitch, it's my birthday, brother. So,
Oh, my goodness. I swear, Matt, I was going to spring it on you that I knew already. I'm telling you. Pre-show here before on the Saturday afternoon, I told Down, I said, hey, I'm going to work it in and just shock Matt that I knew it was his birthday today. Dang it, and he brings it up in the opening segment live here on KSL News Radio instantly, so I couldn't spring it on him, and now it looks like I'm just reacting to the news. I knew, Matt, I was going to work it in. Dang it.
I appreciate that, Mitch. The only reason I bring it up is growing up as a kid, you know, I always wanted to do radio, and here we are doing radio. In a lot of ways, those who listen to the show, Mitch, know that you and I sometimes are like one and the same person in the way that we were raised and the experiences we've had growing up. But I couldn't think of a better way to celebrate a birthday in my 30s than doing a radio show with you, talking BYU sports. And boy, do we have a great show. There's some BYU football talk. The NFL schedule was released, and that has some implications. And guys in the league for BYU, so we're going to keep you locked and loaded with plenty of football and hoops all Saturday long.
Yeah, we're going to be talking a lot, too, about ticket sales for BYU-Arizona. I'm telling you, listen, folks, you got to find out what's going on with the BYU-Arizona game ticket sales, because if you haven't decided yet whether you're going to Vegas, you better decide soon. And that's where we start things off here, as we'll have Ed Lamb coming up in hour number one. BYU associate head coach will catch up with him. But ticket sales for BYU and Arizona are at a hot pace, hotter than the Vegas heat. That's probably already, you know, 100 degrees. I don't know for sure. We might have to check in with the weather desk at the bottom of the hour, get an update on the Vegas weather, but it's hot down there, and the ticket sales are through the roof. Matt, there's already been 41,000 ticket sales for BYU versus Arizona. We're 16 weeks away from today for that game. This is insane. BYU fans are hyped for this game.
I think there's a couple reasons this is happening, Mitch. One being, I think the pandemic has just, especially for guys like you and me and for Cougar fans listening to the show, attending a sporting game has become more important than maybe ever, just because that's something we haven't really experienced in a long time. And so you throw in that this is really that first live taste, because Allegiant Stadium, home of the Raiders, they're selling every seat. Every seat's available. It's not limited capacity. And so I think that is driving up the demand, because opportunity to see a football game in a packed house, which is fantastic. And then also, it's a brand new, gorgeous football stadium. You and I have driven by it multiple times. Can't wait to check it out in person. So you couple the first kind of big football game post-pandemic. I know we're not out of it yet, but we're heading that way. You know, cross our fingers, knock on wood. By that point, it's in the rearview mirror. And then you're playing in Allegiant Stadium that hasn't seen a lot of great football games, especially with fans. All that culminates to just this super interest for this football game. I can't wait. I don't know about you, Mitch, but I know a lot of fans I have some family members who have intentionally bought seats through the Arizona website. So I'm just expecting a big BYU turnout.
Well, and that's the thing is we've got a full piece on this story up on KSLSports.com. Again, 41,000 tickets of the 65,000-seat Allegiant Stadium have already been sold. So Cougar fans that are on the fence, you better decide soon because I think this thing's going to be a sellout, and that's going to be awesome stage. And I think that one of the big things behind this, like you said, the excitement to get back to a live sporting event. But I also think, too, BYU fans – there is such a large contingent of Cougar fans in Vegas, and there's a passionate yep. group, obviously, here in the state of Utah, where easy drive to Vegas, they're just chomping at the bit to see this BYU football program in person. And I looked at the Arizona ticket office. They have yet to sell out their allotment still. Like, that's a problem, Arizona. You are going to see a sea of BYU fans in the crowd at Allegiant Stadium. I remember in 2016 when BYU and Arizona was a season opener, and it was in a neutral NFL stadium, you would have thought, with it being in the state of Arizona, that the Wildcat fans would have just outnumbered BYU in droves. But that wasn't the case. The athletic director at the time, Greg Byrne, who's now at Alabama, he was basically pleading with Arizona fans, please buy tickets because BYU is outnumbering us. We're getting too many ticket orders from Utah and from fans that are not Arizona alumni. Please buy tickets. And, of course, that ended up being a huge BYU showing a support in that first game for Kalani Sitake. It was the return of Taysom Hill. It was the new pro-style offense with Ty Detmer. So much excitement there. I think the excitement is going to be on par, if not more, this go-round because of all the things you mentioned and the fact that BYU is coming off an 11-1 season. This is exciting times for Cougar Nation right now, so they're going to be out there. And you can text us, are you going to be going to the game? 575-00, the UCCU KSL text line. Share your thoughts if you're going to be going to this big game down in the desert in 16 weeks from today.
You know, there's also, I got to tell you a story. So early in the week, I was walking around my neighborhood and stumbled across this guy a couple houses down from me who was wearing an Arizona t-shirt. Claims to be a Ute fan, says he's going to this game, which I'm immediately like, what's your problem? Like, I'm not going to go watch Utah versus Wisconsin as a fan. Sorry. Like, that would be an interesting football game, but yeah. I don't particularly root for Utah as a fan, so I'm not going to go. And he was like, yeah, I got tickets. We're going down. He's like, I think Arizona, man, this team is talented. You guys don't have speed. You don't have the
experience.
What? Like, what are you talking about? Like, okay. Maybe I need to like calm down a little bit, but I feel like this is going to be potentially a 30-point beatdown. This is a whole new staff. Half the roster transferred. I couldn't even name a quarterback for Arizona right now because they all left. A Rich Rodriguez kid gone. He didn't even play that much last year. I feel like if you want to see a football game, this would be a great game to get to because I feel like BYU is going to blow the doors off Arizona, Mitch.
I agree. I mean, I feel like BYU should be at least a 9 to 10 point favorite going into this one. And I think they're going to be a team that wins by double digits. I mean, BYU is the better program. They got the better personnel. Arizona's a mess. They're a dumpster fire. They lost 70-7 to Arizona State. Like, come on. Arizona is a bad, bad football team. And they hired a head coach in Jed Fish, who was the quarterback coach with the Patriots. And that was the worst season of quarterback play we've seen from the Patriots in 20 years. So, and it was an underwhelming hire. Now, he's won the PR battle a little bit with Arizona fans opening up spring practices and really opening up the entire program to the fan base, which is far different than what Cougar fans are experiencing with BYU football as of late. But still, like, there's no reason to say right now that Arizona, it's like, that's simply the mindset of, oh, we're in the Pac-12, so naturally they're going to have better talent than BYU. That's not the case at all. And it's funny you mentioned that there's a guy you know is a Ute fan that is going to go to the game. Is it just me, Matt, or does that happen at every big BYU road game where there's one token
it always does.
Ute fan? Like, do you remember at the Tennessee game there was like it kind of went viral yes. on social media. There was a Utah fan in freaking Knoxville. Like, how does this happen? Now, I'm sure there's been a BYU fan or two that have gone to some Utah games to be a troll, but on either side of the rivalry, stop doing this. Like, please,
yep.
just go incognito. Like, do the Google Chrome incognito tab thing and don't go wearing the rival team colors. Like, please, stop doing that.
Let us know. Text us 57500. Do you do this? Do you wear BYU stuff to other random games? I thought that was odd. I'm just like, dude, come on. You know, like, we don't need that. Get that seat to, because you know he's going to be rooting for Arizona. And it's just like, come on, you're not an Arizona fan. It's lame.
Like, my dad, I think one time, he went to, it was a Utah game, because my uncle, I don't think I've ever revealed this, but my uncle is a diehard Ute. Diehard.
What? I had no idea.
Season ticket holder since, like, 82. So we're talking Rice Stadium days. Like, my uncle and my dad, they go at it. They're brothers. Like, it is BYU, Utah, the rivalry. It's divided the family. I'm not even kidding. It's impacted relationships. It's real. It's tangible. I've seen it. So my dad one time went to a Utah game. I think it was 2007. It was Utah, UCLA, and it was the game where a week after UCLA beat BYU and Bruce Davis, the defensive end for UCLA, said, we're not worried about Utah. They're BYU light. You know, like, they were the BYU light. We're not worried about these guys. We just beat BYU. And then, of course, Utah, I think, won, like, with Tommy Grady. But my dad had, like, a BYU watch on. Like, just, it was his habit, like, wearing this watch. And Utah fans zeroed in on that watch somehow, because I think he was, like, being a little bit of a troll, cheering for UCLA. And just the whole section was just like, there's a BYU fan in disguise. Get him out of here. Like, just don't be the troll fan. Please, don't.
I do need to admit, I know we got to get to a break. I have been that fan once. It was TCU versus Utah. I was in the muss.
2010?
Throwing those. What?
2010?
Yes, the blowout with Andy Dalton. And I was having the time of my life.
That was a pretty good game. That was the day game, college game day. Wounded yep. Warrior jerseys for Utah. And they were wounded, all right, after TCU got done with them. You can keep texting us. 57500. You're going to be going to the BYU Arizona game. It's on the UCCU text line. 41,000 seats have already been sold. We got to take a break, though. On the other side, we'll talk about some of the ultimate BYU football fan trips that you got to be aware of as the NFL schedule's been released. So some jam-packed football weekends coming up this fall. We'll discuss it next here on Cougar Sports Saturday, powered by KSLSports.com. Welcome back into Cougar Sports Saturday here on KSL News Radio. Mitch Harper, Matt Biamonte. Keep the text flowing here on the UCCU KSL text line. We're getting a lot of good engagement on our text line and also on our Twitter feed at KSL Sports. And our question of the day today is centered around which road trip do you plan on attending this year to see BYU football? Some good road trips, as always. I mean, the 11th year of independence, BYU goes to some cool venues. Like, BYU fans, you should be blessed. You should be grateful that you get to see all these cool venues around college football. So keep sharing your reactions. Many of you are saying you're going to that Arizona game in Las Vegas. But, Matt, earlier this week, the NFL released their schedule, and it got me thinking. There's a piece on KSLSports.com about this. The ultimate BYU football trips for fans during this college and NFL season. And I'm curious, do you go, when you go on a road game to see BYU football, do you try to pair it up with an NFL game as well if you can?
No, not really.
No?
If I'm being real, I don't feel like the NFL has the same pageantry. I'm just, like, we talked about Knoxville in the last segment. You and I were both there. I was there like 5 hours before. I remember running into you and Alex Geary at the bookstore. Mm-hmm. I love to go to the bookstore. I want to see the band play. You just don't get that in the NFL. And I think some of that, too, if I'm being real, and I think I can relate to a lot of BYU fans, the BYU presence for the last 20 years has been close to non-existent. Like, there was a good gap between Steve Young and what we're experiencing now, even. Like, so, I mean, there were flashes with John Beck and with Max Hall, but there wasn't that staying power like BYU has now. So this interests me a lot more now than it would have 5 years ago. And the number one trip that you brought up, and I loved it for me, was that trip up to the Northwest. I've never been to Seattle. So you get BYU at Wazoo. Now, I'm not in love with visiting Pullman.
Yeah.
I've read some articles with Mike Leach, and it kind of sounds like there's nothing there.
Yeah.
But just the university.
It's basically Idaho. It's basically Idaho with a Pac-12 label. Like, let's face it.
That's such a good point. It's like a stone's throw away from Idaho.
I mean, Dallin, our producer, is the resident Washingtonian. Dallin, hop on real quick. Is Pullman practically Idaho? Is that fair to say?
It is essentially right on the other side. So, yeah, I mean, Pullman, anything east of the mountains in Washington is basically Idaho anyways. You want to be on the west side with the Puget Sound and the beautiful green. That's what you want.
But here's the thing, though. So let's say you stay in Seattle. I know it's a long drive, but you get that game, and then you go back and you get to see, hopefully, Taysom Hill and Russell Wilson up in the Northwest. Yes. That would be a sweet weekend for BYU fans.
Yes, please. Like, Monday Night Football, I mean, Taysom has got to start. Like, that has got to happen. Two starting quarterbacks in the NFL for BYU fans to enjoy, that would be incredible. That's got to happen. Yeah, I would love to see that go down. I would also... I mean, it's tough with Zach Wilson and the Jets because New York is kind of far. Like, I don't know. I'm not like Zach Wilson, who's made a lot of trips to New York. Like, I've never been to New York. I don't really have much of a desire to really ever go to the East Coast. Now I'm more interested, obviously.
You're kidding.
The Northeast does nothing for me, Matt. I'm not going to lie. Like, New York.
Well, I don't either. Like, Boston's a swear word in my
house. I would like to go to, like, Greenwich, Connecticut, just to see the grounds that Steve Young walked and Tom Young. Like, I would like to see that. But anything else, like I want to see
the field where Steve Young's mom ran out onto the field.
Where Grit is just, like, getting after Steve and Tom. Like, I would love to see that. Give me some Greenwich, Connecticut. But, like, New York, it's never done anything for me. Like, I'd like to see the Garden, you know, Madison Square Garden. But it's about it. But now I want to go because I want to see Zach Wilson in action. And I would love to see a game out in New York. There's going to be an opportunity for BYU fans to see potentially Taysom and Zach Wilson. Coming up December 12th, the Jets are going to be hosting the New Orleans Saints. Obviously, no BYU football game to pair up with, but that's something to keep an eye on. If you do want to pair up...
I was just saying burst your bubble, but it's not even in New York. MetLife is out in the outskirts. It's nasty.
That's a good point. I mean, Florham, he's in Florham Park, New Jersey for the training facility, and then East Rutherford, is that what it is?
MetLife is in... Yes, exactly. I have a picture in front of it, and I look miserable from being a teenager. I mean, it's out there, so yeah. It's like
okay. Well, that's good to know
how that happened. But sorry, you were saying though, so Taysom versus Zach.
Yeah, that would be sweet. But also a BYU home game against South Florida, get some revenge, and then the Jets play the Broncos the following day in Denver in the Mile High. Not bad. You can go drive to that. That'd be pretty sweet as well.
And that. I think you also wrote this one, but I'd give the edge in front of that to Dolphins at Saints Monday night around Christmas time with the Independence Bowl if BYU goes. And I hope they don't, but it's probably likely that yeah. happens. But I think this is where it appeals to BYU fans who oftentimes are members of the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints Monday night game. Mm-hmm. So you get the bowl game and then the Dolphins and the Saints. I think the Dolphins will be a playoff team, so that could be a good game that has – playoff implications. I like that trip a lot. And then Dallin, who just got back from that area, he wasn't with us last week. Go visit New Orleans, so you get some beignets, get some gumbo, see a little football. That sounds nice, Mitch.
Yeah, that would be pretty nice. And I know Cougar fans are like, Independence Bowl, all this excitement for the football season, we're just going to the Independence Bowl. Hopefully not. Hopefully maybe the college football playoff says, hey, BYU 11-1, you're good enough this go round because you played 7 Power 5 teams. That's all it is, right? You just got to play a bunch of bad Power 5s, and then you're in.
Anyway. Yeah, those criteria will change, though. You know it.
Maybe we'll find out from Ed Lamb what it's going to take for BYU to get to the New Year's 6. We'll talk with him next. BYU Associate Head Coach on with us here on Cougar Sports Saturday, powered by KSLSports.com.
This is Cougar Sports Saturday. Cougar Sports Saturday.
A presentation of KSL Sports.
Got it for three! Cougars by 20!
Every Saturday, all year long. BYU Sports Talk by Cougar fans. For Cougar fans. It's Cougar Sports Saturday. Here are your hosts, Mitch Harper and Matt Maimonte. On your legacy home of BYU Sports. KSL News Radio, 102.7 FM and 1160 AM.
Welcome back to Cougar Sports Saturday here on KSL News Radio. And we don't want to waste any time as we have a BYU assistant coach waiting on the line. He is Ed Lamb. Ed, thanks for spending some time with us. We really appreciate it.
Oh, yeah. It's my pleasure. Thank you, guys.
I want to start with the NFL draft, Coach. Chris Wilcox gets selected by Tampa Bay. And, you know, we know that you had a hand in his recruitment and his development throughout his time at BYU. What did it mean for you to just see everything that Chris Wilcox was able to battle through and accomplish throughout his time at BYU to end up getting drafted by Tampa Bay?
Such an amazing story for him, primarily. And, you know, sometimes it gets a little overplayed, like who recruited a guy, who first spotted him. Really, the lion's share of the development is the position coach. It's our academic people on campus. It's the professors. It's the teammates. It's the guys who have come before. It's the guys who are successful right now in the NFL that our young guys aspire to be like. And yeah, certainly I take a great deal of personal pride in being able to identify Chris early in his high school years and convince him that BYU was the right place for him, and then to keep him motivated. But it's really a whole team effort, and I just couldn't be happier for him and his family, and you know, I think the whole team really saw a great story transpire there.
And when you talk about that great story transpiring, BYU as a program gets five guys selected in the NFL draft. And I'm curious, Coach, have you seen maybe the current players in the program being motivated from the results that transpired at the draft as to what maybe they can do in their futures with the game of football if they wish to, you know, pursue those professional dreams?
Oh, no question. You know, just looking at just in the time that I've been here during this stretch of my time here at BYU, you know, initially the questions were all about how are you going to replace Taysom Hill or Jamal Williams or Harvey Longy and guys like that. And the reality is that it's the job of the program, the job of the coaches, if you will, to not only replace them, but to build on the legacy that they've left and to make the team better. And I think that guys are doing that. Guys are aspiring to step into the shoes of great players. And what a culmination here this year to have so many guys get an opportunity. The draft is just an opportunity. I think they all understand that this is just a first step. It's time now to renew their goals, and success in the NFL is now really the only option going forward to continue to call that a successful step too. But, you know, from time to time, I have a chance to address the whole team as a team unit. And I actually did that on Pro Day this year and went through the stories of each of the guys who were invited to the NFL Combine this year. And they were all amazing stories. I mean, just one example, Zach Wilson 12 months ago wasn't named our starting quarterback. You know, he was still battling for his job. And I think that's a great message. Number one, you know, for our coaches to keep an open mind, like, you know, were we wrong then? Do we have some ability to take credit for a piece of his development? You know, I don't know where the answer to that lies, but my message to the players was, you guys can all relate to this. You are all at times frustrated with playing time or production. And there are so many opportunities out there for you guys to see these seniors going through this process and to emulate the success that they've achieved.
A couple of those seniors, as we speak with Ed Lamb here on Cougar Sports Saturday, that have a crack at the NFL, safeties from last year, Zane Anderson, Troy Warner, big shoes to fill. I know spring ball is a little bit in the rearview mirror, but when you think about which guys are going to step into those roles, who comes to mind, who impressed you, and who stuck out as potential two deep guys at safety?
Well, the four guys that have the most experience are Chaz Ayu, who's played a couple of different positions, but you know, he certainly has the requisite skills to be able to play safety and help us out there. Malik Moore has played quite a few snaps on defense and special teams at the safety position, has played at the corner position, offers us some pretty good man coverage opportunities there when we want to get into more man-to-man-based coverages. Hayden Livingston played a lot as a true freshman, has played a lot over the last couple of years, had some injuries last year that kind of, you know, he disappeared for a while from the lineup, but he did a really nice job in the spring. Jared Capisi, otherwise known as Easy Capisi, he played quite a bit last year for us, started a game or two as well. And so I would say those four guys are really coming from the standpoint of, they think they're the front runner, and right now there's no reason to put out any kind of solidified depth chart in ink. Let everybody compete and play it out. You know, really excited about the development of a lot of the young guys. Ammon Hanneman, Talon Alfrey really stood out in the spring. Dean Jones bounced back and forth between corner and safety, and he'll find a permanent home at safety. Feel really good about him. JaVale Brown is another one that's paid his time, paid his dues, and is athletically really a freak, and I think can bring a lot to us as he grows in his understanding of the defense. There are several options at that safety position, and really like a lot of the guys in that room. It'll be a really fun fall camp to work it all out.
Talk with Ed Lamb here on Cougar Sports Saturday. Another guy that, I know he was banged up a little bit, was George Udo. He's a versatile athlete that really embodies the versatility of the defense, honestly. I mean, he could play linebacker, he could play nickel, he could play pretty much anywhere you want him. Will he be in your safety room, or what's kind of the stats on him? Because I know he got banged up towards the end of last year.
Yeah, he's played so many different things. You know, last year he really settled in at the nickel position, and I think that's still his home. He's a guy that because throughout the summer and maybe even the early part of fall camp, he'll be pretty limited as he comes back from his injury. He may be a guy that we do need to make a move, the versatility that you're talking about. If we lost a couple of bodies at the safety or the corner position or the linebacker position, he's played a versatile enough role that his understanding of all those positions, I think, is getting to the point where he can bounce around a little bit. But, you know, if you're asking about the plan, you know, the plan, I think, is to keep where he's at. He had great development last year, and I think he's reaching an upward trajectory of his career.
We're talking with Ed Lamb, talking about the safeties right now. And I'm curious, Ed, what goes into a change on the defensive staff in between seasons where you move from linebacker to safety? Take us behind the scenes on how that goes, because we've seen that a few times during your time here with Elisa Tuiaki, where roles have been shifted around. How does that happen? What are the conversations like?
Well, that's a really good question. I'm glad you asked it. I think we probably have to start with the fact that, between Elisha and Kalani and myself, our background, our experience is multiple positions. Well, Elisha and Kalani have coached on opposite, or they've coached on offense and defense during their career. And of course, as a head coach, you stop seeing yourself as an offensive or defensive coach, or most of us do. And you begin to see yourself as a coach of every position. And so, you know, in our particular room, whether Kalani happens to be in there or not, it really is discussion based. Everything is wide open. It's conversation based. And I think that, you know, when Preston joined us, his only or primary background was in the secondary. And I think he really, enjoyed hearing all the discussion about front play and gaps up front and pressures, how to pressure the run and how to pressure the pass and how those are different. And he's just expressed a real desire to develop himself as a coordinator. So he had really, from almost the first time he got here, he's been asking for an opportunity to maybe coach a different position. I'm comfortable at all the positions. The majority of my coaching career has been in the secondary. I really enjoy that. So I'm happy to make a change. And then, you know, we had a chance to add Kevin Kloon. And so, you know, I know that's a long answer to your question, but if you think about Kloon's background and some of the other backgrounds and what Preston wanted to do, it's really a no-brainer at that point. If you're considering everybody's experience and hopes in the business, then that's exactly what we should have done. I think we did the right thing.
A few more moments here with Ed Lamb. Here on Cougar Sports Saturday, earlier in the interview, you talked about EC Kapisi. The way that I kind of see it, it looks like he's the only senior in that safety room right now. How did that discussion go in the offseason with him, where he decided to use that opportunity to come back and play one more year? Because it's funny looking at the roster online, you see his name and you see 2014. You're like, geez, Jared's been a part of the BYU program for a long, long time.
Yeah, good question. I give some insight into that. And it also applies to, you know, you hear the term redshirting a lot. And now there's, the COVID redshirt. It's really all the same process. We don't talk about the impact of a redshirt, or there's no official paperwork for redshirt or COVID redshirt. Really, the way it always happens is you come in, you prepare like crazy, you play as much as you can play. And when you're done with your 4 years, you and your position coach and the head coach sit down together, maybe the coordinator as well, and you guys discuss whether it's worthwhile for the program and for the player individually to come back and play another year. And that's when the red shirt actually comes into effect, or in this case, the COVID comes into effect. And so Jared had that discussion. He wanted to come back, felt like he had some things to prove, had some breakthroughs last year, but also some setbacks on the field. And he's really training in a way that tells me that he made the right decision to come back.
Yeah, roster construction in college football today and college sports in general is just so fascinating with the COVID year and the transfer portal. Everything is just it's kind of this new era of college sports. And I'm curious, Coach, with the transfer portal, BYU, it seems like, is one of those programs where you guys don't lose many players to that portal, where I see, you know, in basketball and football, a lot of programs around the country, they're losing a lot of guys and key guys. What do you feel is maybe the success of the program in retaining guys to want to stay part of the program, even an extra year like EC? What's kind of the success? What's causing that?
Well, if I put my finger on one thing, it's Kalani. I mean, the head coach drives the culture of the program, the amount of fun. And, you know, I think I need to define fun. Like, to us, fun isn't going to Seven Peaks or the movies or you know, bringing out the slip and slide. Like, fun is working hard and seeing it pay off in football and doing it in a way where players and coaches are respectful toward one another. And Kalani just embodies that in everything that he does. And so I don't think that, you know, generally we're going to have a lot of guys that are dissatisfied with their experience in the program. I think there's always a chance that there are going to be players who feel like that they could have a better opportunity to play more on the field, to play a more significant role somewhere else. And we're comfortable with that. In fact, I really like the new transfer rules because I think that's bringing some freedom to the players. But the other thing is, it's bringing some freedom to the coaches. We now feel like that we can have more honest conversations about where guys should be in their career and that they can transfer freely and, you know, just be very honest about where we see their development. Whereas before there were some artificial processes in place to almost force players to stick around and force coaches to keep them around, like APR. And right now APR is on the chopping block with the NCAA. And for those that don't know exactly what that is, that's kind of a tracking of a school's graduation rate, but also retention. And that was really an artificially created way for the NCAA to force coaches and players to stay in one place. And once the ball starts moving towards more player liberation to make decisions on their best behalf, then I think, you know, the flip side of that coin is that programs are doing the same thing. And I think in the end, it's good for everybody, players and coaches and programs.
Coach, I'm glad you bring – that's fascinating insight. Thank you for that. And I'm glad you bring up the slip and slide earlier, because I remember back in the day with Lavelle, I think when you were a player in Kalani, did Lavelle go on that thing one time and he chipped his tooth on the slip and slide, if I'm not mistaken?
Yeah, and that's great. Yeah, I'm glad you brought that up for those of my, you know, my former teammates and fellow alums that maybe think that I'm you know, bagging on that tradition. That it was a great tradition, and it still would be. But
bring it back,
you know, yeah, Lavelle did chip a tooth. It was all big on the watermelon bust, is what we used to call it. It was a blast back in the day. We all looked forward to it, and our guys would enjoy that still. And we still can do things like that on occasion, but it's certainly not the. It's when we get to senior night or the end of the season banquet and say, hey, what do you remember most? We don't want players saying, well, it's just, you know, that slip and slide, coach. That's the best day of my life.
Oh, man, that's good stuff. We're obviously still a few months away from fall camp, beginning to the thick of the season. But I would imagine you guys feel like there's a really unique opportunity at BYU coming off such an outstanding year where you win double-digit wins, and how you follow that up. You have a tougher schedule, but yeah, momentum is such a key part of sports, and especially in college football. How do you think this current team can follow up what happened in 2020 and just continue to build upon the success that you guys have had over the past couple of years?
Yeah, it really goes back to what you guys already know and everybody inherently knows. I think as fans, and I'll call myself a fan, you know, I mean, obviously, you know, I'm not talking about BYU, but I'm a fan of different college professional sports teams, different sports. And I think a lot of times as a fan, you look at the schedule and you say, man, if we could trade, if we could only win two out of these three, which would it be, you know, and stuff like that. But as an athlete, don't think that way. I don't care if you're playing ping pong or a video game. Like, it, you know, every game you play is you're present, you're in the moment, you're enjoying that moment. And that really is the key. And I don't think athletes do that very often. If anything, you know, coaches and you know, whatever the players might be reading on in the media or social media can kind of sidetrack it. But I think our team and our coaches are, you know, on a streak right now, dating back to last year where it's just taking one game at a time for what it's worth. I think COVID forced that a lot of times, not even knowing if we were going to have an opponent or who the opponent would be. And so it really lended itself toward getting us in the right mindset. And it's something that we plan to continue to emphasize as coaches and try to get out of our players.
Coach, before we let you go, I'm surprised that Matt hasn't asked this, because I think within BYU media, he's the resident special teams guy, but we got to work something in because you are the special teams coordinator. I'm curious, Jake Oldroyd comes back and somehow he's still a sophomore, he was on that team in 2016 against Arizona, and he's teamed up with Ryan Rico. How special is this tandem, a kicker and punter for BYU? Because it feels like quite the group that you got there in that special teams room.
Oh, they sure are. And there are some young players in there too, that I think are going to have a bright future behind them. But the way those guys work together, I think that's a legacy that will live on for several years around here. There's, you know, you already know this, I'm sure, but I'll bring it up anyway. Ryan Rico is the holder for Jake Oldroyd, right? And Ryan is the backup place kicker, at least on at least in our kickoffs, and then Jake is the backup punter, or was last year, you know. And so these guys, they're not only competing with each other every day, but they're supporting each other. Can you imagine the trust that you have to develop when the backup kicker is holding for the starting kicker? I mean, it's very easy to turn that ball a quarter of a turn. It's very easy to put it off a 3 or 4 degrees to the right or to the left or front or back. And Ryan's a true professional in what he does. He's a punter first and wants to be a punter and a holder in the NFL. And Jake wants to be a place kicker. And you know, the goals that they have for themselves and each other and the way they work together, it's really incredible. It's fun to be their coach. And Gavin Fowler really is their position coach. He's the one that chases them around during the off season and with academics. He meets with them every day during the season. And he's doing a tremendous job with those guys.
He is Ed Lamb. And Ed, as always, we appreciate your insight and your time. And we know it's valuable, and we greatly appreciate it here on Cougar Sports Saturday.
Matt, Mitch, thank you for what you guys do for us. And really appreciate the chance to talk to you today.
This is Cougar Sports Saturday. Cougar Sports Saturday.
A presentation of KSL Sports.
Got it for three. Cougars by 20.
Every Saturday, all year long. BYU Sports Talk by Cougar fans.
For Cougar fans.
It's Cougar Sports Saturday.
Here are your hosts, Mitch Harper and Matt Biamonte.
On your legacy home of BYU Sports.
KSL News Radio, 102.7 FM
and 1160 AM.
Welcome back into Cougar Sports Saturday. It's May 15, my birthday, and I'm glad to be here with all of you Cougar fans and Mitch Harper, Dallin Graff. It's been a blast. I mean, as a kid growing up, this is probably one of the best birthday presents I can think of, being able to do a radio show talking sports on your birthday. It's been fantastic. Hour one in the books. We just heard from Ed Lamb. Man, these BYU coaches, man, they give some great information. It was really interesting, Mitch, to hear his thoughts on guys who had that upper edge heading into fall camp. And I just loved hearing his perspective. And also, I thought it was really unique, Mitch. I'm curious what you think. When he talked about how each offseason they talk about how roles may change, because I didn't know that Preston Hadley was seeking out that opportunity. So I thought that was a nice little story there from Ed Lamb, where, because you would think, hey, Preston played defensive back. He's coached defensive back. That's where he wants to be. But to get him exposure for potential coordinator opportunities down the road, they're accommodating to him to let him learn that position. So I thought that was really cool from Ed.
Yeah, I thought that was an interesting piece as well, because I think Preston Hadley, honestly, is someone that I look at down the road. You envision long term, he could be someone that's got the makeup to potentially be a head coach type guy for BYU. I don't know about other places, but I feel like for BYU, he could be down the road a head coach type of guy. But to diversify your portfolio of what you can do in football, that's a good thing, because once upon a time, Kalani was a running back coach. He was obviously a linebacker coach, D-line coach, defensive coordinator, like just all these different things and attributes to kind of build yourself up into what Ed Lamb mentioned as just, you know, a coach who can coach any position, coach the game of football. And I thought that was interesting that they were willing to accommodate that with Pat Preston Halley. Great insight on the transfer portal, too, because those tough conversations have happened after spring football and before graduations took place. And so right now there was some difficult conversations that happened. And once we see BYU get into fall camp coming up in August, some of the names that were probably part of the program last year on scholarship might not be there anymore. And they might matriculate into the transfer portal, potentially find some new landing spots. But it's a new era of college football. But this BYU staff has done a great job evolving and continuing to adapt to the times instead of saying, hey, this worked, this is all we're going to do. So it's a nice thing for BYU. And that's why I think there's so much excitement going on currently with this BYU football program.
It's been an exciting couple weeks for BYU football, and it's just, it's been unique. Mitch, you've covered the team for a lot longer than I have, but we've been fans for a long time. That's what makes the show fun. Cougar Sports Saturday, for fans, by fans, right? That's what we say. Okay. We've been following the team our whole lives. I can't remember a May quite like this, where there's just so much excitement from an NFL perspective, because as I mentioned earlier in the show, it's been, 20 years since you've had that real pull to the NFL, but that's happening right now because you've got good quarterback play. Zach's going to be the starter. Taysom's in a battle. You got other guys like Fred Warner, Kyle Van Noy, Danny Sorensen, Michael Davis. There's more BYU guys.
Jamal Williams, new spot.
Yeah, exactly. And so the schedule's released, which now we get to see what some of these BYU guys are going to be going, you know, what they're up against, some exciting matchups. Maybe we could just, there's so many BYU guys, it's probably hard to cover them all, but what are a couple of matchups and you saw the schedule that jumped out to you that will feature BYU players?
Well, I think the biggest one that pops off the page right away, and I know our producer Dallin's going to love it, is Zach and the Jets versus Sam Darnold and Carolina. I mean, the NFL knows what they're doing. Like that was yep. Brilliant move by them to understand, to get peak interest in week one from basically every matchup. I think it was, can't remember which talking head it was, but it's like you put the Jets and Panthers in week eight or whatever, like no one cares. But week one,
nope.
Wilson versus Sam Darnold, that's going to be awesome. And it's a lot of pressure on Zach because if he underwhelms and gets outplayed by Darnold and the Panthers, you're going to see the instant knee-jerk reaction. We already know that from the New York media. It's the well-documented New York media. They're always very volatile. Like, they will be nuts if Zach Wilson underperforms and loses that game against the Panthers and Sam Darnold. So that, to me, is going to be a huge game for Zach Wilson and the Jets. That's almost like a must-win, just because from an optics standpoint and how so many people were saying, like Mel Kiper types, I should have stuck with Sam Darnold. Like, Zach Wilson yep. can put that to bed right away. So I'm very excited for that one for sure. What about you?
Week one is full of interesting matchups with BYU guys. I look at the Saints and the Packers. Either way, it's interesting. Yeah. If Taysom wins the job, or even if he doesn't, how does he get used? Does Jameis go back to his old ways, throwing interceptions left and right? But if Aaron Rodgers stays, you got Taysom taking over for Drew against one of the great quarterbacks of all time. Or you've got Taysom Hill, who should beat Jordan Love, who played in the state of Utah at Utah State and would be in an impossible situation. I mean, either way, that game is interesting. And then also, you got Kansas City and Cleveland. That might be the game of the week. I mean, that was a fantastic AFC playoff game last year. You got Sione Takitaki, Daniel Sorensen, maybe Zane Anderson makes the team. I mean, week one is full of really interesting football games.
Yeah, it really is. And I'm glad that there's going to be excitement for BYU fans to see NFL games this year, because I think you're right. I mean, I feel like BYU fans have always just been like, okay, I'll catch the highlights of that BYU player. Like, I'll tune into SportsBeat, listen to Jeremiah Jensen, our guy JJ and Sam, you know, give us the locals in the NFL recap. But really, there wasn't much maybe vested interest to actually dive into games. I get the sense now that, you know, Cougar fans, they want to watch Jets games. They want to watch Saints games in their entirety because it just slaps a little different, Matt, when it's quarterbacks yep. involved. And BYU is an institution when it comes to quarterbacks. And to see potentially two guys, that's going to be pretty sweet to see.
I think the other game, this has gotten a lot of buzz because of the resale value of the ticket, but it has a BYU tie as well. It's Tom Brady's return to New England, because now you got Kyle Van Noy is back. And I would imagine he just goes right back to what he did before, calling the plays for Matt Patricia and that defense. But then Harvey Longy, does he make the team? What kind of role does he have? So the New England defense is going to be interesting going up against Tom Brady in his return. So I've never been – Dallin would argue with us. Me and you, Mitch, I think we're college football people. Dallin, on the other hand, he's an NFL guy. I think that's his bread and butter. But now, finally, I think my interest in the NFL is – it's never going to surpass college, but it's starting to get up there because there's so many teams with good BYU players. I mean, we haven't even talked about San Francisco and Fred Warner. I mean, he's on the verge of getting a big contract. Jamal Williams, bummer, he's in Detroit. We haven't talked about him. The Chargers are like a Super Bowl sleeper. Michael Davis signs a nice deal. What a story that is. I mean, we probably don't give that enough credence on the show, Mitch. Just how amazing Michael Davis going from bench at BYU to making a team and signing a lucrative deal as a starting defensive back for the Chargers. They're in an amazing division with your Las Vegas Raiders. I mean, it's just awesome that you got BYU football. They're winning. They're interesting. And now in the NFL, that angle, it's all weekend long. There's BYU angles. It's awesome.
Yeah, and I'm excited, too, to see the Lions, what Jamal Williams can do. It's probably going to be running back by committee, of course. That's what the position has become in the NFL. But the swag daddy, like that guy, when he's having success, that's good for the league because that's great content. He's a breath of fresh air in a world that's basically all business, all ball. He injects some fun and some excitement to the NFL scene. So hopefully he can continue that. We know he's going to have his personality still, but have success in Detroit now that he's moved on. So definitely a lot of great storylines from the National Football League with BYU this season.
All right, we'll take a break here on Cougar Sports Saturday. There's another matchup which we touched on, but we're going to get into it more. The Saints and the Jets, but possibly Taysom versus Zach Wilson, two BYU quarterbacks facing off in MetLife Stadium this season. So we'll break that down on the other side. It's Cougar Sports Saturday, powered by KSLSports.com.
Welcome back into Cougar Sports Saturday here on KSL News Radio, your legacy home of the BYU Cougars. Mitch Harper, Matt Biamonte. If you ever want to connect with us on the show, tweet at us at KSL Sports or hit us up on the UCCU KSL text line 57500. If you're going to go to that BYU Arizona game coming up this fall, share your thoughts on that because 41,000 tickets have sold. A lot of tickets, so you better decide soon if you're going to be going 16 weeks from now.
And check this text out, 4727. Haven't bought my tickets yet, but I'll be there. You better get that ticket, 4727. Jeez.
Get that ticket now. Hopefully, we need to revive the CSS RV. We need to hit up Alex Keery's Connects now that the pandemic, the CDC say if you're vaccinated,
hey,
you can.
I've got an idea.
No mask indoors and outdoors. Maybe let's do this.
If we can't get the RV, we might have to bust out the CSS EV. Trip down to Las Vegas.
Oh, man. Hey, Zach Wilson's got the BMW now. That's okay. It's all yours. But you know what? We're doing the EV. Let's do this thing. CSS EV. Hashtag that thing up. I'm sensing a trend. I think we're going to be trending for all the right reasons. Usually when you get on trending, it's all for the wrong reasons. I think CSS EV, though, that can get trending for all the right reasons.
I'll tell you this much, Mitch. We're not going to CSS EV to watch Zach Wilson and Taysom Hill. That would be a long trip in an electric vehicle all the way to MetLife.
That's the one we need the RV. That's where we need the RV.
Amen to that. And plus, I don't want to pay for a hotel in New York City. Anyways, I digress here. Zach Wilson, Taysom Hill. I don't know if the NFL thought two BYU quarterbacks in kind of an interesting pairing, but this is an interesting matchup because New Orleans, either way, whoever their quarterback is, it's going to be all season long. It's going to be the shadow of Drew Brees in New Orleans, whether it's Jameis or Taysom. And then in New York, it's Broadway Zach. It's the new era. So this is going to be a real interesting opportunity. And these are the type of games too for the Saints that they're going to have to win if they want to go to the playoffs. And this is still a roster that can go to the playoffs. And it's also one of the reasons, Mitch, I think Taysom will be the starter. Because if you look at the pieces around whoever the quarterback is, it's a better fit for Taysom Hill right now. Like when Jameis Winston threw for 5,000 yards and had 30 touchdowns, he was throwing to Mike Evans, Chris Godwin. He had, I'm trying to remember the tight end's name, OJ Howard.
Yeah.
I mean, that team had, that was a dynamic passing offense. This Saints wide receiver group, dynamic is not the word you would use. Now they have a great number one wide receiver and they have a great number one running back in Alvin Kamara. Who's the type of quarterback that would work well with that? A dual threat guy. That's not Jameis Winston. So I think in this particular matchup, we are going to see two BYU quarterbacks in Taysom and Zach heading off against each other in New York, New Jersey, either way at MetLife Stadium.
I'm still very optimistic that Taysom Hill is going to be the starting quarterback, even though every national NFL person this weekend with the schedule release and the NFL draft was basically saying, yep, Jameis, you know, he's going to have the chance to lead this team in the first year post Drew Brees. But I still feel like the fact that Taysom is transforming his body to kind of trimming down to where it's more of a quarterback build. It's not being built to be the Swiss Army knife, because everyone, I think, assumes, oh, if Jameis wins the job, Taysom can just go back to that F position role, the Swiss Army knife, and keep doing that thing. He is changing his body to where he can't, he's not going to be able to handle the rigors of that position anymore. Like, he's clearly stated, like, he's lost weight. He's kind of slendering up a little bit to be a quarterback. And I just still believe that Sean Payton was not turned off by what transpired in those four games for Taysom Hill. I know the opposition was not great, but man, he was 3-1. They lead the Saints too. Like, you cannot argue with wins. Any win you get in the NFL, that is success. Anyone in the NFL, all 32 teams can win. That's why, you know, the Jets, they got an uphill battle coming up with Zach Wilson, because how much youth is in that organization. But still, it's the NFL. It's the best football players in the world. Anyone can be had on any given week. And I just feel like Taysom Hill, to me, is still going to be that guy. And if both these guys stay healthy, I think we're looking at two BYU quarterbacks starting in an NFL game for the first time since 1997. Steve Young and Ty Detmer did it. Those guys did actually twice in 96 as well in the wild card, which I don't know how I forgot that. I remember the 97 game, but the wild card round, I totally spaced that. Maybe I was seven, but I digress. But I mean, I remember the 97 game vividly. I think it's going to happen, Matt. I'm very confident. I still believe. I'm all in still on Taysom Hill.
You know, and it's interesting too when I think about this game, because a couple years back, Taysom had a nice performance against the Jets in a preseason game, and that was one of those moments where I was like, this is not the Taysom Hill we saw at BYU. This guy was throwing accurate passes, and I think it was the week after that he went to San Diego and dropped a nice touchdown pass to, was it Austin Carr, a little slot wide receiver? And those were the places where I'm like, hey, this dude can do it. And I just keep coming back to what Steve Young said. And look, Steve Young is a lot smarter than me when it comes to football. And so is Sean Payton. Let's not forget that. A guy who's had a big development in Taysom Hill, which is, if Taysom gets the reps, the sky's the limit for this guy. He was like, Taysom Hill, what he did in those four games was actually quite remarkable when you think about how little practice time he got. I mean, he practiced those weeks that he played the games, but imagine what a full season of practicing day in and day out and getting the repetitions. The sky is the limit for Taysom Hill. The sky is not the limit for Jameis Winston. And so I just feel like cooler heads will prevail in New Orleans and that Taysom will get the first crack. Now he's got to perform, but I think he's going to get that first crack.
December 12th, Jets, Saints might be the biggest moment. I think it probably would be the biggest moment that doesn't involve Steve Young in former BYU players in the NFL. Like, the moment that doesn't involve Steve Young, the greatest.
Yep.
That would be like an amazing moment for BYU football, for the program. And I hope we see it, because I hope that these guys stay healthy, hope they win the jobs, and I hope that just everything goes according to plan, and I hope both teams are good. Like, how great would it be if these guys are vying for playoff contention and just in the thick of something that actually means something, and this game kind of captures the nation's attention. It would be pretty sweet to see that happen. Before we go out real quick, speaking of Taysom Hill, I had this thought. Tim Tebow, he signs with the Jags. Can he thank Taysom Hill? Like,
yes,
he's back in the NFL because of Taysom Hill, right? Real,
Because he's neighbors with Urban Meyer too. Yeah. So that doesn't hurt.
Yeah. I just had to get that in because seeing Tim Tebow sign, like, I almost need to write something on KSLSports.com about it because that is just blatantly, like, I know the connection with Urban, but still, like, you're not in the league today. It's not for Taysom Hill. Anyway.
There's a fundamental difference between the two players, though. Taysom is way faster, and Taysom is a much better thrower than football.
No question. But I think there was fair parallels when Taysom was coming up through the ranks at BYU. Got to take a break, though. On the other side, we'll get to our favorite segment, the top five. Can I get my second win in a row? Let's see if we can do it. Cougar Sports Saturday, powered by KSLSports.com.
This is Cougar Sports Saturday. Cougar Sports Saturday.
A presentation of KSL Sports.
Got it for three! Cougars by 20!
Every Saturday, all year long. BYU Sports Talk by Cougar fans.
For Cougar fans.
It's Cougar Sports Saturday.
Here are your hosts, Mitch Harper and Matt Maimonte.
On your legacy home of BYU Sports.
KSL News Radio, 102.7 FM and 1160 AM.
Welcome back into Cougar Sports Saturday, May 15, or halfway through the show here. And it's been a wonderful show so far. If you've missed any of it, go to our podcast feed. Ed Lamb, join us in hour number one. You can find that interview if you missed it on our podcast feed. But right now, can't waste any more time. We got to get to our favorite segment of the program.
The Cougar Sports Saturday Top 5. Mitch and Matt clash in a weekly battle of BYU sports knowledge. The Cougar Sports Saturday Top 5.
As always, the Top 5 is brought to you by Economic Partners, Utah's premier business valuation and strategic consulting firm. If you need a business valuation, contact econpartners.com. And now let's bring in our producer, Dallin Graff, fresh off vacation from New Orleans. Nola, we're glad to have you back, Dallin.
Thanks. It is it's good to be back, you know. First thing I see pulling into the city is the bright, shiny Mercedes-Benz Superdome. I'm imagining Taysom Hill running around the field next season. Wishing I could get in and see a game, but
CSSEV, New Orleans.
I'm just glad that was your first thought, because sadly I would probably be the one that says, that was the site where BYU didn't cross the 50-yard line.
You're still hung up on that.
I'll never forget it, Matt. I'll never forget it.
My uncle, a longtime listener of the show, came up to me and said, "You tell Mitch Harper he was dead wrong. 2017 was not the worst year."
That's fair. It's a good conversation. So what do we got on deck this week, Dallin, as the maestro of the top five, which shout out to Dave, by the way, in the board op over there. Did a nice job holding it down last week, but glad to have you back.
Yeah.
What do you got on deck this week?
Yes, well done, Dave. This week, you know, we've talked NFL and football for the majority of this show so far. So I'm going to switch it over to the NBA here because we've got a little bit of NBA news and exciting NBA news with former Cougar Elijah Bryant signing a contract with the Milwaukee Bucks. He spent the last couple seasons playing in Israel and in the EuroLeague as well. Now gets that NBA opportunity. And today we're going to be talking about the NBA and some of those Cougars who played long careers in the league. Only 24 players have even seen any sort of minutes in the NBA from BYU. Today we are looking at the five players who played the most minutes in the NBA.
Okay.
Very interesting. I like this.
Just the guys with the, you know, played the most, had, you know, in a lot of ways, these are the guys that had the biggest impact, you know, long careers and oftentimes success at that. So that's what it is. Most minutes played, pretty straightforward. We're going to start with Mitch this week. Looking to write the ship.
No birthday gift from producer Dallin.
No birthday gift for Matt. Sorry. This is the rules. I have it written down who goes next. I can't break my rules for a birthday. Sorry. They're set in stone. Okay, Mitch, what's your, who's the first?
Where's the stone? I want to see the stone.
What's the first name that comes to mind, Mitch?
It's pretty easy here. Danny Ainge.
Yes, unsurprising, it's number one in minutes played, 27,755 minutes for Danny Ainge and 14 NBA seasons, and he is the most impactful player BYU has produced that's gone on to play and have a long career in the NBA, won multiple championships with the Boston Celtics, was a very important part of that team, and later on had success with other teams like the Phoenix Suns as well. So, yeah, I mean, he is, when you think of BYU players in the NBA, that's probably the guy that everybody thinks of first and foremost.
No question. I mean, Danny Ainge, all-timer. I have this pipe dream someday that Danny Ainge will, like after Tom Homo retires, like Danny Ainge just says, you know, I'm done with the wheeling and dealing in the ESPN NBA trade machine. I'm going to dump all the assets and go to BYU to be the AD. How sweet would that be? You talk about negotiator, like in Big 12 talks, like that guy's going to negotiate his tail off. That guy's going to work relationships. That's like a pipe dream I have. Like Danny Ainge comes down and gets BYU in some Power 5 league. Hopefully Homo can do it, but if he can't, let's get Danny Ainge in here, the GOAT, to get in here to get BYU into the Big 12 or the Pac-12, whatever it may be.
Yeah, you got to dream big. I like it.
Dream big.
I like it. All right, Matt, to you, what's your first guess?
I'm thinking my guess is going to be, and we, of course, all of BYU Nation is wishing this man as good of a recovery as you can have with that devastating injury down in St. George. It's Sean Bradley.
Yes, yeah. Another easy one here. Sean Bradley played 19,531 minutes in the NBA in 12 seasons. This was a fun stat. I was looking through his career stats in the NBA. Played in 832 games, had 2,119 blocks in 800 games. I thought that was an incredible stat. Just goes to show you the type of skill set that he had and what he brought to a team. And of course, he was in one of my favorite movies of all time,
yes,
a childhood classic, Space Jam. I mean, when you're in Space Jam with the GOAT MJ, I mean, come on, what can you say?
That's pretty awesome.
I think, too, Sean Bradley probably didn't reach the heights that some people thought he would reach when he left BYU early. But in a kind of an ironic way, I think his career is now undervalued in the NBA. He had a really good career. He was a solid starting NBA center. That's hard to do. Like, he was never a franchise player, but I think when you think about Sean Bradley, you know, he had a much better career than maybe he gets credit for. Bouncing around a couple places, but really solid NBA career.
He'd totally be more respected in today's game where it's all about the advanced analytics or specializing in certain roles and per 36 or whatever it may be. Like back then, it was just like, oh yeah, that he was in Space Jam is kind of the joke guy, but he was always getting posterized. Like that's how people sadly remember him. But yeah, he was you play 10 plus years in the league. I don't care who you are. Like, you do that. That's an incredible accomplishment that goes beyond just simply being 7'6". So, yeah, hopefully Sean Bradley continues to recover and use his platform for good. That's the type of person that he is and a great family that he's in.
Yeah, no doubt. Okay, Mitch, back to you with your next guess.
Let's go with Greg Kite.
Yeah, Greg Kite just misses out. He's sixth among BYU players with minutes played in the NBA. Did play over 10,000 minutes in the NBA. So that gives you an idea of his career, long career for Greg Kite, but just misses out on the top five here.
Wow, that surprises me. I was locked and loaded with Greg Kite. So I don't feel good about this one, but I just better take it while I can. Jimmer Fredette, did he squeeze in?
Yeah, not quite for Jimmer. You do got to guess it. I get it. I knew, you know, it was going to come up. He is ninth, 3,000 or 3,200 minutes Jimmer played in the NBA.
Hmm. Yeah, I was either going to go Greg Kite or Jimmer. I decided to go
sad.
Kite.
Just think about that. Think about how sad that is that the 10th pick in the draft only played 3,200 minutes. Like, that to me speaks that he did not get an opportunity to succeed in the NBA.
Yeah, I recently saw, I don't know if you guys follow the Broadcast Boys on TikTok. They did a Where Are They Now 2011 NBA Draft Edition. It was like, dang. Like, Jimmer, like that class wasn't that great, if I remember right. But, yeah, Jimmer just didn't work out. I'll go to my deathbed saying, if Paul Westphal's the head coach, it's going to be different. It's going to be different. But got to move on.
And here we go. Keep going in the top five. Back to you, Mitch, with your next guess.
Let's see here. Travis Hansen. Hey, man's an entrepreneur. That amounts to something. The man hours that he's put in.
He's on there. 507 NBA.
The Russian Michael Jordan, baby.
Okay, I'm trying to remember the times we sat in the Marriott Center and looked at the rafters. Who the heck are we forgetting? I'm too young to probably give an educated opinion on this guy, but what about Kresimir Kostić? Did he play in the NBA or the ABA or whatever the heck it was back then?
Yeah, no Kresimir Kostić, but I think you're in the right ballpark. I think we got to think a little farther back here with some of these guys. And yes, NBA, ABA is included, as some of these guys ended up, you know, playing in both leagues.
So. I got it. Thanks for the tip, Dallin. Sometimes it's not my birthday, but you're coming in clutch. My guess, I feel pretty dang confident. He was an NBA ref too, Bernie Fryer.
Bernie Fryer, he is 10th in minutes played. 2,370 minutes for Bernie Fryer. Good guess, though. Good guess.
He was a ref, longtime ref. I thought for sure that was
doesn't.
It.
I guess that doesn't factor into the minutes played.
Yeah.
Okay, now it's rapid fire time. Michael Smith.
All right. How about when you mentioned the rafters, Matt? I think he was an LA Laker or a Minneapolis Laker. Mel Hutchins? Yeah, boy!
There we go. Yes, Mel Hutchins, fourth all time in minutes. Over 16,000 minutes for Mel Hutchins. Played seven seasons at that time would have been ABA, NBA. It was the second overall pick in 1951. Yep.
Was it with the Lakers?
Yeah.
It was with the Lakers. Okay.
Wow.
That's what I thought.
Minneapolis, and then was in Fort Worth for Fort Wayne, excuse me, Wayne Pistons.
Lovely. That. Lovely.
All right. 2-1. Matt, what do you got here?
I'm not feeling good about this one, guys. I'm not feeling good. Hafa Araújo.
Not bad. He was 13th. So he had a couple seasons there, but not quite.
I so wanted him to work out. So bad, Hoffa. I'm going to go with the fellow 1951 NIT champion, Roland Minson.
Jeez. My goodness. Oh, my goodness. This is tough. Let's go with our boy, Mark Durant, baby. I'm dead.
Hordop, Dave, what are you doing going with the second sounder? Come on, put some respect on Mark Durant's name. Thank you very much.
Put some respect on his name, but it doesn't quite get it here. All right.
No.
Mitch, a chance to seal it. What do you got? Remember, think a little far back, and I'll even throw maybe another one here. You mentioned Greg Kite earlier. Same sort of era, same sort of
How come Mitch gets
here?
The first guess and the double hits on my birthday?
Oh, gosh. I'm missing one. When you say that. Oh, gosh. What was his freaking name? Oh, gosh. I'm thinking of that 81 BYU Notre Dame game.
Oh, jeez. I'm blanking.
Go ahead, Matt.
I don't have the name. Devin Durant.
Yeah, he is actually on this, though. He did have minutes in the NBA. So,
okay. All right.
Yeah. Yeah, Devin Durant was. Oh. Was he with the. Or no, hold on. Actually, Andy Toulson?
I don't have it, Mitch. It's up to you. I can't go back into the 50s.
Well, maybe not quite back in the 50s.
It's that 81 team. I'm telling
you.
That's
where you're. You're in the right
spot.
It's
the 81 team. I know it. And that 81 team's got at least like four guys that played in the league. Oh, my gosh. Who is it? This is going to drive me insane. I am going to scream. I'm literally going to scream. Who? Gosh. Dave, don't do that to me. Who is it, Dallin?
All right. So we will listen. I'm gonna call a victory here. We're gonna ceasefire. We have a 2-1, so we're gonna give it to Mitch this week. In the
Mitch
in
Harper
the top five. here are the other two names. The one you're probably thinking of, Mitch, is Fred Roberts.
God, yes.
Oh,
played 14,000 minutes in the NBA over 13 seasons. Yeah, long
Ken,
career.
I am sorry. I Ken, dear friend, Ken, I'm sorry. I forgot Fred. I'm sorry. Gosh.
the other name, and this one is farther back. You're dipping in the ABA days. Is Jim Eakins?
Oh yeah.
Played 10 seasons in the ABA and NBA.
Yes.
19,000 over 19,000 minutes played in those 10 years.
I'll take the win, but you know what? I don't feel good about it, Matt. I've been there many times.
That was a challenging list, but you guys did pretty good. You guys did pretty good, all things considered.
I threw in a Bernie Fryer reference. I threw in a Bernie Fryer. That didn't win? Come on. All right.
I threw in a Mark Durant reference. Mark, tweet me and congratulate me. Something. Wish me a happy birthday.
All right. We got to take a break. We'll get back, and we'll give you a BYU football recruiting update coming up next. And a whole lot more here on Cougar Sports Saturday, powered by KSLSports.com.
Welcome back to Cougar Sports Saturday, the top five. Man, that was a challenging list,
yes.
But exciting for Elijah Bryant to have a chance to get into the league, hopefully sticks around for a long time and climbs up that minutes played list. And as always, the top five is brought to you by Economic Partners, Utah's premier business valuation and strategic consulting firm. Need a business valuation? Contact econpartners.com. Let's switch gears now, Mitch, to one of your favorite topics, mm-hmm. recruiting.
Yes.
And BYU football made an offer to someone out of Snow College earlier in the week.
Yeah, I think this is pretty notable, Matt, because, you know, anytime you offer a JUCO guy, I think there's a thought that this is a guy that could potentially have an immediate impact. And with the unique eligibility rules in college football this year and JUCO football, where this past year doesn't count towards eligibility, this guy could potentially, if everything worked with his associates and all of that, maybe he could play this fall or potentially enroll as a grayshirt if he does commit to BYU. It's Keontae Scott, a cornerback at Snow College. Good measurables, about 6'2", 175. But what's interesting here is that this is a guy that battled some academic issues coming out of high school, played at a very prestigious high school, Helix High School, if you remember it. Todd Watkins was once down there. Reggie Bush, Alex Smith, they were all on the same high school team back in the day. Keontae Scott prepped at Helix High. He's also got a connection to Miles Davis, BYU running back from his days when he was at Las Vegas before moving to the San Diego area. But now he's at Snow College, and he's made a huge impact for the Badgers, who are undefeated. They're actually going to be in action coming up a little bit later today to close out their regular season. But Keontae Scott, I think, is going to be a name to keep an eye on. And anytime BYU extends a scholarship offer, it's significant because there's so few and far between on the actual available scholarships that they have. So Keontae Scott is a name to watch. And BYU was his first FBS offer. And then immediately after, the next day, Western Kentucky offers. And then after that, it was Oregon State. So the offers are going to continue to pile up. Jarrell Guilford's going to be in a recruiting battle, but it helps too, Matt, that Zach Erickson, the head coach at Snow, former BYU guy, a good friend with Brian Keel, Tanner Jacobson, a cornerbacks coach, defensive backs coach. He was a grad assistant last year and a former BYU player under Kalani Sitake. And then obviously Jan Jorgensen, the saint, the Janimal. He's the defensive coordinator at Snow. So a lot of BYU ties. Obviously, they're going to let him go throughout the process as he sees fit. But Keontae Scott is definitely a name to keep an eye on for potentially the 2021 or the 2022 recruiting cycle.
And I love the mentality from this staff, Mitch, with the defensive backs, where you could just never have enough depth. Just when you think you've got a full room, you know, someone gets hurt or something happens. So I love that they're just going after athletic dudes to fill out the depth in that defensive room. We'll take a break here on Cougar Sports Saturday. Hour number two in the books. On the other side, we'll get to some interesting scheduling news. It's not what you think, but we'll touch on that and much more with BYU football. Back after this, it's Cougar Sports Saturday, powered by KSLSports.com.
This is Cougar Sports Saturday. Cougar Sports Saturday.
A presentation of KSL Sports.
Got it for three! Cougar Sports winning!
Every Saturday, all year long. BYU Sports Talk by Cougar fans.
For Cougar fans.
It's
Cougar Sports Saturday. Here are your hosts, Mitch Harper and Matt Maimonte. On your legacy home of BYU Sports. KSL News Radio, 102.7 FM and 1160 AM.
Welcome back into Cougar Sports Saturday, hour number three, coming your way here on the program. Matt Biamonte and Mitch Harper. And Mitch Harper, man, we got to give him credit where credit is due. He does an outstanding job on the BYU beat, providing great coverage on KSLSports.com. And I loved this piece you put out earlier in the week. And as always, you can check out Mitch at KSLSports.com, Mitch_Harper. He wrote 10 teams BYU football has surprisingly never defeated. Now, we'll go through the whole list here, but what I'm most interested in, Mitch, is which team or two, and we can have a little friendly discussion here, do you wish that just wasn't on that list more than the other teams?
Yeah, to me, it's probably recency bias is playing in effect here, but Coastal Carolina, like that game just frustrates me to no end. And this list, I looked at it, and because, you know, BYU's got a rich tradition of wins. Like, the last 50 years, they are the winningest program out West. Like, that's pretty cool because you talk about USC, UCLA, great brands out West, and BYU is the winningest program in the last 50 years of college football. That just speaks to how good the program has been in the last half century. And so it's very rare when a team has a stranglehold over BYU and just can say, we've never lost to those guys. And that Coastal Carolina, only one meeting, but man, that was just a frustrating one because I still feel like BYU was the better team, especially with how Coastal Carolina played in that bowl game. But, you know, quick turnaround, I get that. Some penalties, didn't play great defensively. That's just one I wish it would have gone another way, especially too with how that fan base was. Like, the Coastal Carolina fans drove me nuts. And one thing I learned too, Matt, is that this game, and I didn't realize this until I put together this piece, Wikipedia has a page, a landing page on it. It literally says Mormons versus mullets, and it's a whole Wikipedia page dedicated to BYU Coastal Carolina. So it's a historical game, and that's can always be a cool thing about it. But man, it's just frustrating because when you get those historical stages, you want to win them, and losing out that Coastal Carolina game prevented a perfect season.
That's a good pick. That's number three. When I was just looking at, I like to put together lists. I've always been a list guy. I have, like, if you were to look at my iPhone on the reminders app, it's just lists, shared lists with my wife, shopping lists, wish lists. I'm just a list dude. That was number three for me. I think the reason it wasn't higher was because by the end of the year, like when we went into that game, Mitch, we felt like if they win this game, they're gonna make the New Year Six, and it became pretty clear that even if they win that game, they probably don't. And so, which I think is ridiculous. Let me make that abundantly clear on the show. But because of that, I just, you know, it would have been a great win, but it wouldn't have resulted in the payoff that I think they would have deserved. So for me, number one is Florida State, specifically in 2009 at home. You have beaten Oklahoma, and I feel like that would have been the year. Because TCU was good too. So you got Oklahoma, who you beat, Florida State at home, who you should have beat. I mean, Florida State took care of BYU pretty easily, but I don't think that should have happened. And there was a turnover because it was like back and forth, high scoring very early on. And there was an O'Neal Chambers near the red zone.
Yes.
And that kind of swung the football game. But I'm like, if you win that game, and then you beat TCU, which they didn't end up doing. So, and that was a game day game too. So we're talking about two home games here. You win two home games against good football teams. I don't think you're playing for the national championship, but you're playing in a sweet bowl game.
I think they might have been playing for the national championship. Like,
really? Wow.
In that 2009 game going into Florida State, like, BYU was viewed as just the favorite. There's like some old YouTube video of Skip Bayless saying, BYU is going to crush, like in a Skip Bayless fashion. They are going to crush. And he's like pointing down at the table in Skip Bayless fashion, crush Bobby Bowden in Florida State. And then fast forward to the Saturday, Bobby Bowden and crew are tearing up the grass at Lavelle Edwards Stadium. And it's just like, what just happened for BYU? And yeah, it's crazy. Florida State's beaten BYU four times all time. 91, Pickskin Classic. They won in Anaheim, number one ranked team. BYU had the defending Heisman Trophy winner in Ty Detmer. And then in 2000, they won the Pigskin Classic as well in Jacksonville. That was BYU was just outmatched. Defending national champion Florida State in that one, too. And then 2010, the first year of Jimbo Fisher out in Tallahassee. But yeah, the whole list, I just thought about it because, again, BYU just, they don't have many offers against teams. I know that Utah feels like it's been forever since BYU beat those guys, but they have. So it's, Utah's not on this list. The rest of the list includes the following: Alabama Crimson Tide, only one loss to them, but still a loss. Florida State, Indiana, oh, that one pains me. Iowa State, Kansas, yeah, Kansas. Kansas football, BYU's never beat them. Ohio State.
That one pains me. Let me just say, I've got family from Ohio.
Okay, go on.
Ohio's, the reputation of Ohio State fans, it is true. I have firsthand knowledge. When Kirk Herbstreit says, I had to get the heck out of Columbus because the fan base was getting me, I know exactly what Kirk Herbstreit is talking about. It is, they are crazy. And so I have to hear that garbage. Ohio State, Big Ten, we're like, get, this is just to give you an example. I get a text during the NFL draft. This is how Ohio State fans think, a large portion of them. I get a text. Hey, do you know which team has the most people taken in the draft today? And I'm like, well, it's coming from you, so it must be Ohio State. Yep, Ohio State. And I'm like, oh my gosh. So that would be an especially sweet one if BYU had a win over Ohio State.
Man, that would be nice, but almost feels impossible, doesn't it?
Yep.
Because they are on the footing of, like, Alabama. Like, that's the only program that's better than them right now is Alabama. But, yeah, there was a couple years ago, Tom Homo put out a tweet that said, hey, Coug fans, should I try and get a game? And it was at the Horseshoe. It's like, ooh, is Tom getting the Buckeyes on the schedule? I would love to see that. I think Ty Detmer one time leaked on a radio show, if memory serves me right, he said that BYU and Ohio State was on a future schedule, like in the 2030s. So maybe it's going to happen. We're just waiting on the official details potentially, but would be great to see BYU and Ohio State play. Just from the experience, too, and to get a win over Ohio State would be fantastic. Oklahoma State is also on this list. South Florida, got a chance to redeem that coming up this year. BYU hosts the Bulls, and they will play them the next 3 years. So there's going to be a lot of games against South Florida coming up in future years. And this might be the most surprising one of all, Matt, Stanford. Now, to me, this is number two after Coastal Carolina. BYU is 0-2 against Stanford. Shocking that a team so close to BYU in terms of geography, not close in terms of ideals and views politically and all that stuff. But 0-2 all time against the Cardinal. I would love to see BYU get revenge against them. A lot of games coming up against Stanford. They're going to be playing each other about seven times between 2022, next year, and then 2035. So we will see BYU and the Cardinal quite a bit, but kind of surprised that they've only met twice and BYU's lost both.
I think the reason I didn't put that one higher, just kind of thinking about the list of teams I wish they had beaten, is because I kind of feel like they would have last year. Like, That's a game that should have been played. Shoulda, coulda, woulda, you know. Obviously, it's a pandemic, but that would have been – I was really looking forward to that because my in-laws live in the Bay. So it's like Thanksgiving with the in-laws, drive up the road, so it's a little BYU and Stanford, but BYU will get Stanford at some point. Stanford's being played so much. It's going to be a cool football game, BYU and Stanford. I'm looking forward to that series.
Matt, I need to put together some genealogy of your family and piece together the map, because you've got like family all over the place, man. I've got like family in West Jordan. I got some family in Harriman. That's about it. Like a few in Philadelphia, but that's about it. You got it all over the country, man. You got a
like I
a,
really do.
You got a well-diversified family that's well-educated, charming people. Like, I got, like, this is an impressive genealogy.
I got connections. So, hey, if we want a CSSEV, we can go to Florida. We can go to Ohio. We can go to Denver.
I love this.
We can go to the Bay. We can go to L.A. Arizona. We can – let's take that thing around. Let's hit up some football games, guys.
My sister is considering moving to Florida, and I'm like, oh, yes. I'm going to have connections in Disney World. When BYU plays UCF, I'm going to have some hookups. Let's go. My parents are like, no, don't leave. Don't leave. You got to stay home, because that's what we all do in the Harper family. We all stay in Utah. And so I'm just impressed that, like, you have family that branches out beyond the 45th state in the union. So tip of the cap to the Biamontes.
Oh, that's great stuff. Well, you know, maybe we should take a break here, Mitch, on that genealogy note. It's Matt Biamonte, Mitch Sharper, Dallin Graff producing. It's Cougar Sports Saturday. On the other side, we'll talk some more scheduling oddities with a couple teams popping up in the 2030s and maybe touch on which teams you'd like to see in future schedules. So back with more after this. It's Cougar Sports Saturday.
Welcome back into Cougar Sports Saturday here on KSL News Radio, your legacy home of the BYU Cougars. 16 weeks from today, you'll hear BYU football on these airwaves here on KSL News Radio when BYU takes on Arizona. And we're seeing a lot of feedback on the KSL Sports poll on Twitter. A lot of you saying you're going to be going to that BYU-Arizona game as your game that you want to check out this year on the road, as BYU has quite a list of great games on the 2021 football schedule. Two teams that will not be on the 2021 schedule are Missouri and Michigan State. And I say these programs, Matt, because, well, these two schools were supposed to be on the schedule last year, and obviously COVID-19 took those games away, and basically they should have taken them away forever because they got rescheduled, but who knows what the world's going to look like at the time these games are actually played.
Yeah, we got Michigan State all the way down to 2032, which will you have kids in college by that time? I mean, you got to be getting close.
Yeah. Let's see. 11 years from now. Yeah. My oldest son, who's turning 8 this summer, he will be, you know, college age, 19, mission, like that will be. Yeah. So he's getting baptized this summer. That will be.
You're going to be writing weekly mission letters.
Yes. I will be doing a,
there's going to, he's a,
Michigan State and BYU 2032. I would say, hey, son, Coach Kalani, in his 30th year with the program, is going in with a chance to knock off Sparty like Taysom Hill did 16 years ago.
Oh, man. That's, that is so funny when you frame it like that. I don't even, hold on. Is it 16? I think it would have been 20. No. Yeah, you're right. 16. 16. Yep. Wait. I'm
2016. Yeah. Plus 16.
You're right. 16 years ago. That is so good. And then you got Missouri delayed even further. I believe it was 2035 is what I, now take in mind, I think when these things get kicked back so far, there's always, I think, a little fluctuation. But man, it's crazy to see that. And it begs the question, we've talked about this before, but since we're talking about future schedules, just way off down the line, there's a good chunk of teams that BYU has never played. So while we're just thinking about future schedules, Mitch, is there a game or two that you want to see on a future schedule, hopefully before 2032?
Army West Point. And I think there's still a game with them. It has probably been canceled for all we know. It was like 2034, in that range as these games. But Army West Point, because just like I have tremendous respect for the Army. Love the Army. Great, great institution. But man, how they ducked BYU after it was literally like, they just did that to Navy. Yeah, we don't want to play those guys no more. They're like, thank you, COVID. Thank you for taking away BYU, because that was going to be a wreck. Like, that was going to be a mess for the Black Knights. And the fact that they ducked BYU on that Thanksgiving weekend, and it just wasn't a good look. And I'm kind of like, ticked about it still, and I want to see Army back on the schedule. What about you?
For me, I think there's kind of a 1A, 1B, and it all has to tie in with pageantry. One, Clemson, and maybe that's recency bias, but I remember a couple years ago, there was a huge game down in Clemson between Louisville with Lamar Jackson and Clemson with Trevor Lawrence, and man, just there was ESPN at the time had did a great intro where it was like 5 minutes of fan shots, Clemson Tigers touching Howard's Rock, running down the hill, night game. They had the lights that were blinking. It just looked like the coolest place in the world to watch a college football game. So I would love to experience that. However, I do get the feeling if this game was scheduled to be a day game, and it would take away some of the thrill and excitement, but that looked amazing. And then another one, we all have these, Mitch. I know that. I'm curious to hear what you have to say when I say this. We all had a team as BYU fans growing up. When we played NCAA football, you played for BYU, And then when that got boring in dynasty mode or whatever it was called, you went somewhere else. I often went to Florida, the swamp. I had a Florida hoodie growing up. I loved playing with Florida on NCAA. So I just have this pull to the swamp. So BYU down in Gainesville at the swamp, you got the Jaws sound going on. Both of those places would tickle me to death. It would be so cool.
Yeah, I'm convinced that every Utah kid growing up had like a Florida team. Like, because you spoke to me right there, because my Florida team was the Hurricanes, the Miami, the Canes. Like, that was the team I turned to. It was Miami. I would love to see BYU schedule Miami again. Yep. It hasn't happened since 1990. I was hoping and praying that was going to go down last year when there was talks about, you know, Miami needs a game to maybe solidify their spot potentially as a New Year's Six at large. BYU needs a game. It was like, ooh, this just seems perfect, but the ACC wouldn't allow it. So BYU then moves on and goes to get Coastal Carolina. We know how that all played out. But yeah, Miami would be sweet. Another team that I would kind of like that'd be low-key, kind of nice, I think, to me, would be Maryland, an ACC team, or well, they're Big Ten, but I think of them as an ACC team still. I think that would be kind of a cool trip. Go to Scott Van Pelt's neck of the woods and see Maryland. I would like to see that. Kentucky would be kind of cool.
You are such a contrarian's not the right word, but earlier in this show, Dallin, he said, I'm not an East Coast guy. I don't want to go to the East Coast. Then he pulls this crap out. I want to go to Maryland.
Well, Maryland, as far as like the football team, like the Terrapins.
That's on the East Coast. Get any more East Coast.
Okay, I saw Annapolis with Navy, and I drove and I dove into College Park. Yes, I did that, and I was like, this is a cool stadium. So maybe a little bit of bias again, recency bias playing in a factor here. But I was like, I want to see BYU play here. So the fighting Ralph Regents, the fighting Scott Van Pelts, bring that on. Then in Kentucky, that's not East Coast. That's Southeast, baby. That's Bluegrass State. Give me some Kentucky, where Jan Jorgensen once was going to play for. Bring that on. The Jan Jorgensen Bowl, BYU versus Kentucky. Bring that on.
Let's take a break here in Cougar Sports Saturday, where we don't want to go to the East Coast, but we do want to see BYU play Maryland. So, no, I'm kidding. I'm
kidding.
We'll take the break on the other side. If you missed Ed Lamb, we're going to play that next year in Cougar Sports Saturday. Welcome back to my birthday edition of Cougar Sports Saturday here. It's been a wonderful show, except for earlier when Dallin hosed me in the top five. So no, Mitch got all the clues. Mitch got the first guess, which was no. I'm just kidding. I don't know if it's well deserved. No offense, Mitch, because we both struggled at the end. But nevertheless, it's been a great show here, and we we got one more segment to go, as always. It is the hurry up. Bring in that beautiful NFL music. Bring it in. And let's start with the NFL, Mitch, where Harvey Longy, he signed with New England Patriots. That'll be fun to see Harvey back in Boston.
Yeah, definitely will. Happy for him. Happy for his wife, because they had that scary car accident his rookie year when they were part of the Patriots organization. So good to maybe have that story potentially end on a high note, because Harvey Longy was fantastic last year for the New York Jets. BYU football news. Signee, Dylan Rollins, offensive lineman from the state of Montana, named Gatorade Player of the Year in the state of Montana. The only offensive lineman in all of the Gatorade players of the Year in all 50 states to come from the offensive line. So big congrats to Dylan Rollins.
Speaking of football, the video boards down at the Bellwood Stadium, the South video board is completely gone. Kind of some funny jokes online too, where it's like, wow, this video board's incredible, just blends right in with the sky. And the north one is being taken down. I can't wait to see how that all unfolds, but a renovation still underway on those video boards.
Yeah, 5 weeks in already on the renovations, and we'll have to get an official timeline as to how long that's going to be, but gotta imagine it'll soon, maybe June, July, hopefully. We'll see some resolution with those scoreboards. Kind of fun story here. The Rock. Can you smell what The Rock is cooking, Matt? He made a reference to the classic BYU-Miami game in 1990 in the TV sitcom Young Rock. Now, as someone who kind of has ignored network television, like, I love KSL5 TV News. I love Sports Beat. But the TV sitcoms, like, not my thing. If I'm going to catch it, it's going to be on Hulu. So I caught something on social media. There was a reference to BYU Miami 1990. It was like this actor playing Ed Orgeron, and he's like, our season openers this Saturday at BYU, and these boys from Utah, they play that finesse game. What do? Hit them in the mouth. Ty Detmer responded on Twitter and said, they hit me on the mouth, but we got the better end of them. So, big shout-out to The Rock, holding it down still. Dwayne Johnson, the man, The Rock.
On the Olympic side of things, Mitch, BYU softball wins the WCC. They have a really nice record. They've done an outstanding job. Now, as you mentioned before, WCC, not the best conference for softball, but when you're a team like BYU, this is what you got to do, and they keep doing it, winning the WCC.
I think in a connection to the top five, if I'm not mistaken, isn't Coach Eakin, the softball coach, related to the Eakin that is in top five of NBA minutes from BYU? We got to check on that. Stats team, we got to check on that. Can we check on that? Hey, Board Op Dave, can we look into that, please? Let's see here. Also, staying in the basketball side of things, hopefully this guy can go into the top five of minutes played in the NBA. Elijah Bryant signs with the Milwaukee Bucks, expected to be a two-year deal. Look, he was part of the Summer League with the Bucks a few years back, dropped 31-piece in a Summer League game against the 76ers. Obviously, the Bucks have liked him for some time. Now he's a member of that team in the playoff run. Kind of unique timing there, man.
Speaks volumes to how they maybe project him down the road where, look, let's be real, he's not going to get much run in the playoffs, but he'll get a chance in the Summer League and next season to make a name for himself. And so, I think a lot of people at the time, Mitch, said, come back to BYU and run it back, and who knows what happens. But it all worked out for Elijah Bryant, and he's in a good place. And here's what's interesting. If Milwaukee stumbles in the playoffs, they could shake things up and open the door for some younger guys to get some time. So it's going to be really exciting to see what he does these next 2 years.
Yeah, I'm hoping and praying we see some sort of like Utah Jazz Sundiata Gaines moment where Elijah Bryant knocks down some game winner in a playoff game. How sweet would that be? Like, if he could get some minutes and some run at all, that would be pretty cool. I mean, unlikely, sure, but the fact that the Bucks are willing to bring him on, I think it just speaks to his talent. And also, how just good of a shooter he is. I mean, the guy literally is a 50-40-90 type player where 50% from the field, 40% from three, 90% from the free throw line. Those are the percentages he's hovering around in his career from Israel, and that's what he was doing at BYU. Just a great shooter, a perfect fit for what the NBA wants today out of their offensive players, and I think Elijah Bryant can have a role in a franchise that seems to value those type of players, like a Sam Merrill with the Bucks. So, very happy for Elijah Bryant and his wife Janelle. Great story to see that all work out for him.
All right, I think that'll do it here on the May 15th edition of Cougar Sports Saturday. Thanks for all the interaction on the text line. As always, subscribe to the show, to the podcast feed. Listen every week, text in. We appreciate it. So have a wonderful, beautiful May 15th. Have a great weekend, and we'll catch you next week.
Years ago, Americans watched in horror as a crisis unfolded at the Kabul airport.
There's desperation and anguish.
More than 80,000 Afghans have since arrived in America, but this story is still unfolding. I'm Andrea Martin. In my new podcast, Stranger Becomes Neighbor, we'll find out what happens to these new arrivals in our communities. Who would help our newest neighbors? Follow us at kslpodcast.com, Apple Podcasts, or anywhere else you listen.